Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody. As usual, I'm your host, Cody. And today, we're continuing September's theme of awesome Stephen King books being adapted into TV shows and movies. So today, we are talking about The Stand. The Stand is an interesting history, which I'll go over briefly, and then I'll talk about a little bit about the previous adaptation into a miniseries, and then the new one coming up with the known cast who we have. So the history of The Stand is very interesting. It has been published twice. The first edition, which was released in, technically 1978. I guess it's been released three times. Is that correct? Three times? Maybe. Hold on. I know it was released in, I guess it's two versions. Yeah, originally published in 1978. Then released in 1980 again, and then the final time in 1990. So three versions. The original version that was released in 1978. The setting was set in 1980 in an abridged form. The first paperback release in 1998 changed the setting date to 1985. And then in 1990, an unabridged edition, which includes all the stuff that was edited out, was released in hardcover that was 1,152 pages. So the history of this is this. So, the original publisher, Doubleday, warned King the book size would make it too expensive for the market to bear. As a result, he cut about 400 pages, around 150,000 words, from the original manuscript. The edition, the complete and uncut version, basically reinstates most of the deleted pages as selected by King, as well as is an updated setting, moving the time frame from the 1980s to the 1990s. And the new edition features a new preface by King and illustrations by Barry Wrightson. And then that goes from there. So you can basically the original version of it, super long in general. 823 pages is a pretty long book. But the updated version of 1,152 pages is a whole lot more book. I mean, 400 pages, 150,000 extra words. It's just kind of amazingly long. And is that technically his longest book, or is it longer? Books. The Stand is 1152. It is longest. Yeah, because 1138 pages. It's a pretty long fucking book. Under the Dome, I think, is after that. Yeah. They're both very long books, very dense books, both amazing books. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I think The Stand is like my third favorite of his classic books. It being number one, The Shining being number two, and then The Stand will be number three on that list. So, yeah, basically that's the publication history of the book. So, depending on which version you read, it's either set in 80 to 81 or 85 to 86 or 1990 to 1991. The synopsis is this of the book itself. So The Stand is a post-apocalyptic horror/fantasy novel by American author Stephen King. It expands upon a scenario of his earlier short story, Night Surf, and presents a detailed vision of the total breakdown of society after the accidental release of a strain of influenza that has been modified for biological warfare causes an apocalyptic pandemic, killing over 99% of the world's population within 2 weeks. It's actually 99.4% of the population, if I'm not mistaken. And it does take 2 weeks to do. And it is fucking brutal. It is known, the pandemic is known by a couple different names. Superflu is one of them. The project is known as Project Blue. It's also known as Captain Trips. And I think that's it. So the ones? Superflu, Project Blue, those rhymed. Captain Trips, I think it's all of them. I think. Yeah, and it's all the names of the flu thing. But yeah, that's the basis of it. So the rest of the plot is basically there's these groups of survivors that start getting visions of this this old lady who is telling them to travel from where they are to Colorado. Another group of people in different groups of them are getting similar visions, but of a man known as Randall Flagg, or the Man in Black, or the Dark Man, drawing them to Las Vegas. Slightly different visions. One is more pleasant. The other one is Randall Flagg's visions. And he's pulling in criminals and cutthroats and all sorts of bad people to his side. And essentially he's going to be waging war against Mother Abigail's group of survivors in Colorado. And amongst these characters, there's several. I mean, there's I have a list of the characters here. There is roughly about 30 characters. Let's see, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 7, 28, 29. 29 or so. Roughly 30, I think. So there's 30. I didn't read that or didn't count that particularly well. Anyhow, they are again, they're lumped up into two main groups. Well, Project Blue has its own set. There's three main characters from there, but don't worry about them. You have the Boulder group, which are the good guys, air quotes, I guess. Then you have Las Vegas, which is all the bad people. And they're not all great people, by any stretch of the imagination. But Randall Flagg is the penultimate enemy or bad guy for most of Stephen King's, especially Stephen King's connected universe of books. Basically, he shows up in obviously The Stand. He's the one of the main antagonists in the Dark Tower books. He shows up in Tears of the Dragon. Oh my God, what other ones? Salem's Lot. What other one? She shows up in a bunch of different ones. Eyes of the Dragon, I said that already. The Dark Tower. And then he's mentioned in other ones. Like he's kind of in the Dark Tower. He's mentioned in some of the other stuff that happens there. But those are the main ones. I think those are the three main ones: the Dark Tower, the Stand, and Eyes of the Dragon are the main ones that he's in. But he's the manifestation also of evil and some other stuff too. But yeah, pretty awesome. He's a great villain. All of them are great characters. They're really good. The one of the reasons I love The Stand, it's not because of the ending. because I have a problem with it. Because there isn't one, I guess. Anyways, I'll get to that another time. The reason I like this is the characters are so varied, and they're really amazing characters. This is one of the things too. Don't get attached to anybody in this book, because not everyone have a happy ending, and some don't make it to an ending. Well, they have an ending, but not like a ending. It's amazing characters throughout the book. All 30 of them. Some of them are smaller characters, but the thing I love about it, the Shining and The Stand, is the realness that Stephen King, I can't call him Stephen, I'm not that good friends with him, not yet, brings to these characters, and the tragedy he writes for them, as well as the triumphs for some of them. And it's really interesting because of kind of the how do I put this? Evilness as well, like the good and evil, and like how everybody has certain things about them that they go through. There's redemption, there's degradation of characters, there's terrible characters that are justifiably given punishment, which is, if you read it, you'll understand why. But there's a veracity to the characters themselves that make them feel better, but also you even feel weary about some of them because of the nature of who they are. And there's a lot of this, are they good, are they bad, throughout the whole thing with majority of the characters. Not all of them. Some of them are just too good for their own right. He does an amazing job with these characters, and there's some that you will love, and there's ones you love to hate, and they're not always the good guys or the bad guys on either side of them. I want to say there's an ending to the book. It's just not the ending I thought was going to happen. And don't let the cover, various covers, the most popular covers, which have two people fighting in what looks to be the desert, one with a sword dressed in all white, the other one dressed in black with this mask on and who has a sickle. Don't let that fool you and make you think that there's going to be this epic bladed battle in the middle of the desert. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but that's not what happens. That cover's a lie. Dirty, dirty lie. And the person you think is the hero ends up not being the hero, and the person you think is the villain is definitely the fucking villain. But anyhow, that's the book. Again, I'm trying to stay away from spoiling it too much, but there you have it. So in 1994, a mere 4 years after the release of the full uncut version, ABC decides it wants to do a miniseries. It is 4 episodes long. It is not bad, actually. Not great, but they leave out a lot of stuff, just because it is a lot of stuff in this book. I mean, 1,200 pages versus 800 pages is pretty drastic, but, you know, whatever. And it was a two-weekend event, right? Is that what it was? Can't remember what the release was. Oh, no, they were like, wow, that's weird. They were closer together than I thought they were. Released on May 8th. So episode 1, The Plague, was released on May 8th, 1994. Episode 2, The Dreams, was May 9th, 1994. Episode 3, The Betrayal, was released May 11th, so 2 days after that. I wonder what day that was, actually. Day of the week. Because they skipped the 10th for some strange reason. Let's take a look at... cancel. I don't know how to use... Let's get it go back there. Yeah, 1994. What's up, phone calendar? So May... that's weird. Saturday, Sunday were the 8th and 9th, and then Tuesday, Wednesday were the 12th. I wonder why they skipped the 10th. Interesting. I don't know. Anyhow, that was the release date, those particular ones. It was, if I remember correctly, not well received, I don't think. The content, you're gonna edit a lot of stuff out for TV. Won Emmys? Holy shit, I didn't realize that. I didn't pay attention to awards back in 1994. Won 2 primetime Emmys. It was nominated for 7 or 6. Outstanding makeup in a miniseries. Oh, that's not good. It won for outstanding makeup for a miniseries and outstanding sound mixing for a miniseries or movie. Art direction got nominated. Cinematography got nominated. Overall outstanding miniseries and music composition all got nominated, but they lost. Interesting. I didn't realize that. I was going to say, I don't remember them being received well, but I think it was one of the best received adaptations of the early Stephen King stuff for back in the day. I don't even know how long it... Oh my gosh. Wow. $28 million budget. It's actually a lot for back then. Which it had to be. There's a lot of shit going on in it. But I don't know how long it was. I think were they two-hour episodes? I think they were. It was like 4 movies. It's a lot. I mean, a lot. But it had a fairly big cast for back then. You had Gary Sinise, Molly Ringwald. Let's see. Miguel Ferreira. Matt Frewer was in it. Adam Stork. I'm not sure how to say his name. Rob Lowe was in it. Shawnee Smith was a youngster then. She's famous from the Saw movies as well as other stuff, but that's the most popular thing. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was in it, apparently. I didn't remember that. I was going to rewatch it, but I couldn't find it anywhere other than buying it on DVD, which I'm not going to do. Actually, I found it on Blu-ray, too, I think. Maybe not. Maybe it was on DVD. But I wasn't going to buy it. It was dumb. I was like, I don't want to buy it just for that. If it was on something, I could watch it. But there's this lack of, like, early, mid-90s content you just can't find anywhere. And I did find the VHS box set on eBay, I think was the one I found. Or was that The Shining I found? One of them I found, oddly enough, I was looking for a link, and I found a link for an eBay. Somebody was selling the box set of VHS that came out. It was ridiculous. But anyways, that's the 1994 miniseries produced and shown on ABC back in the day. And then we move on to the reason we're talking about it today. It has been picked up as a 10-episode miniseries that's going to premiere next year in 2020. Don't know the date or time yet. And the majority of the main cast has been announced. So it's been some pretty well-known people in it. Some other not so well-known people, and I'll go over who I know is people. I mean, I knew work by all these people. I just didn't know them by their names, not all of them at least. So first up, one of the most important castings. There's two: Stu Redman, who is the de facto leader of the survivors, or the people in Boulder, I guess you want to call them the Boulder group versus the Vegas group. Is going to be played by James Marsden, and I'll go over who they are in a second. Randall Flagg just announced literally the other day, which made me happy for two things. One is I could talk about it on the show, but also because I like the actor they got for it is Alexander Skarsgård. Alexander Skarsgård is from a very very popular acting family right now, but he's most well known for being Eric in True Blood. He was also in the first season and partially in the second season of what is that called? That show on HBO? Big Little Lies, is that what it's called? Oh, that's exciting. I didn't know it was in that. Big Little Lies. That was right. Big Little Lies. Which I have not seen, but I heard is amazing, and he's amazing in it. I think he even got nominated for it too, right? Is that correct? Did I remember that correctly? It doesn't actually matter, but I'm going to bring it up anyways. Because I want to say that's correct. He won a bunch of stuff for it too. He won a Primetime Emmy for Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Limited Series or Television Movie. And he also won a Golden Globe for Best Supporting Actor. He was nominated for Satellite Awards. He won the Critics Award and the Screen Actors Guild Awards, all for, one is Best Supporting Actor, the other one is Outstanding Performance by a Male Actor in Television, Movie, or Miniseries. I've talked about him before on this here show because he was in Generation Kill, as well as many other things that I've talked about on here. But I'm super excited that he's playing Randall Flagg, and he's going to be amazing at it. Hopefully, you know, it'll be pretty good. I like that guy a lot. I think he needs to do a lot more work than he has done that I know of, but that's neither here nor there. He's going to be playing Randall Flagg, the main antagonist of the series. You have Jovan Adepo, I think is how you say his name, playing Larry Underwood, who is a failed musician. Jovan has been in a handful of things. Most notably for me was The Leftovers. He played Michael Murphy. But also most recently, he was in Overlord. It came out last year. He was in Mother the year before that. He's in the upcoming season of Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan that's premiering in October. Is it October? November? When's it coming back? Season 2. I know it has I think they announced a premiere day for it. I could be wrong about that. I want to say it's real fucking soon, though. Like, real, real soon. It does not matter. I do know they are getting ready to... November 1st. That's what it was November. So he's in that. You can catch him in Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan on Amazon. And of course, The Stand, which will be on ABC All Access streaming service platform sometime next year. Whoopi Goldberg will be playing Mother Abigail, the 108-year-old who pulls in the survivors to Boulder, and is she's never the leader. She's just the person who brings them all there. You have Amber Heard, who some people do not like, but I actually think she's a pretty good actress in the things I've seen her in. But she's most recently she was in Aquaman. She played Mira, Aquaman's lady friend. She's also going to be in Aquaman 2. But she's been in, she was in Justice League as Mira. I think the one thing, she's been in a lot of things. Zombieland. Yeah, that's funny. Pineapple Express. Never Back Down. That movie was terrible. She was in an episode of Californication. She played Amber. But she's been in a lot of things. She was in G.I. Joe, right? Wasn't she in G.I. Joe? Am I thinking of somebody else? Maybe she was not in G.I. Joe. Thinking of somebody else, I think. Doesn't actually matter. But she's playing Nadine Cross, who is a really fun character. You have Brad William Henke playing Tom Cullen. Tom Cullen is a mentally challenged or mentally efficient. I can't remember how to say that word. Basically, he's mentally handicapped. He is a he has this saying. He's basically he's a child in a large man's body, and they got a perfect guy for him. Brad William Henke has been in a lot of things. Most notably, he was in a movie called Choke, which I love. It has Sam, what is his name? Oh my God, I just talked about him the other day too. Rockwell, Sam Rockwell. But that movie's amazing. If you haven't seen Choke, you should fucking see it. It's based on a book by the guy who wrote Fight Club. I've not read the book. It was funny. I bought the book. I have not read it. I bought an ebook for like $4 or something. But it's that movie is actually really good because it's written and directed by Clark Gregg, who is famous for being Agent Coulson in the Marvel Cinematic Universe as well as on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So that's fun. And he's in it too. He stars a small role in it, but he's in it. But it's a fantastic, fantastic movie. But very adult, so don't show your kids. Actually, shouldn't show anything I talk about on this show to kids. Most of the stuff is not good for kids. It's amazing, but not for kids. He was in Justified. We're talking about Brad William Henke again. He's been in single episodes of a bunch of different shows. He had a small bit role in Pacific Rim. He was in Fury. He was on Hawaii Five-0 for one episode. He was in Split. He's in a show on Netflix, was on the show. I don't think he's in there anymore. Called Sneaky Pete, which is supposed to be pretty good. He was in the Netflix movie Bright, which was actually really good, but people shit on it. Then he was in three seasons of Orange is the New Black. And then, of course, he's going to be in The Stand, which he'll be in majority of it, actually. He'll be in probably all 10 episodes, depending on how they cut it up. But he's a pretty major character in it. Then we have, Owen Teague, I think is Teague. It's like League, but with a T instead of an L. He's playing Harold Lauder, who is another really good character who, I think this kid is actually gonna be really good, as him. Most notably, he was in the It Chapter 1 and 2. He played, Patrick Hochstetter, one of the bullies with, Henry's group, the one got killed. The only one that got killed, really, in the first movie. Spoiler alert, I guess. He was also in. He's been in a bunch of like TV shows, but he was in Bloodline. He played Nolan Rayburn, the son, oldest son of the main character, right? It's been so long since I watched it. Something called Mrs. Fletcher, a TV show I've never heard of before. Well, it's from this year, so I guess it makes sense. But he'll be playing Harold Lauder, and I think he's going to be really good. Harold Lauder's a fun character. Also, he's a scumbag. But, you know, in a fun way. Anyhow. Up next, after Henry Lauder's character, is Greg Kinnear playing Glenn Bateman. Glenn Bateman is a really good character, too, and I'm pretty fucking excited the fact that that Greg Kinnear is going to be playing him, because it's going to be I think if he does a good job, it's going to be pretty goddamn good. I don't know why they list him as one episode. He's in more than one episode. He's a pretty major character. Yeah, because same here. Randall flags me in one episode. Come on, IMDb, you're better than that. And then after that, we have Odessa Young, who's going to play another one of the main characters. Again, these are all, I chose these ones because they're all major players in the story. That's why they've been casted and talked about so far. But Odessa Young's going to be playing Franny Goldsmith, who is, for the most part, the lead female protagonist. She is a almost 18-year-old girl. I think she might be 18 years old when it starts, who becomes pregnant. And part of the fear in this world of The Stand is that the 0.6% of people left in the world are in a way immune to the super flu and Captain Trips and all that fun stuff. So the fear is, will a newborn baby also be immune, because it comes from essentially, well, her, in her case, one immune parent, because the father, Steve, succumbs to the super flu before the baby's born. So that's fucked up. And it's a very big tension point in the book. And I hope to God they do it that way in the show, because it'll build crazy tension. Like, fucking nuts. Like, there's a whole, it's not a sizable chunk, but there's a very good large section of the book where Stu, who's all there? Stu's there, Tom's there, and I think there's two other characters, I think, and they get trapped in this small town during a storm. It's fucking nuts. And the reason I say it's, I'm stuttering for words, try not to ruin anything, but there's essentially, I want to say, I think the book is broken down into four. It's either four parts. I think, I want to say it's four parts. The Wikipedia says it's three, but I would venture to say it's actually four. Because there's Captain Trips, which is the section of the book that is the release of the virus, the spread of the virus, so that 2 weeks. There's the section of the two factions of survivors coming together in their different groups. Then there is the aftermath of the main thing. So I want to say there's four parts. There's Captain Trips, which is that there's everybody in their factions. Then there's the tension between the two groups, and then there's after that. This is three, but I believe, if I remember correctly, it feels like four parts, because there's a lot of stuff after the main confrontation between the two groups, the big war. It's not really a big war, but it doesn't matter. So I say there's four, but Wikipedia. Maybe that's because they're going by the original. Maybe this is talking about the original one versus the expanded version. Because there's a lot that goes on before the groups are even together. And then there's a long time when they are together that time passes. And then there's the confrontation. And then there's the aftermath. So there's a lot. Like, I wonder if they're going to be 10 hours. I wonder if it's 10 hours of content. Because there's a lot of stuff you can easily, not cut out, but don't have to, like, dwell on. But anyhow, I'm rambling about that. Anyhow, back to the whole thing. This is Odessa Young, who I thought I knew who she was, but I clearly do not know who she is. Fairly young actress. She's the ripe old age of maybe 20. I didn't even look it up. I can look it up right now, though, because I think I clicked on her earlier. Odessa Young. There you are. She is going to be 21 later this year, I guess, by the looks of that. But I don't think I've seen her. I haven't seen Assassination Nation. I know she's in that. I haven't seen A Million Little Pieces. Tricky Business is a TV show called Tricky Business. What? Oh, it's Australian. She's Australian. I forgot about that. But she'll be playing Franny Goldsmith, so hopefully she's good, because she's going to have some trying scenes ahead of her. Plus, for fuck so much of it, she's going to be pregnant. First episode, you could easily, she could not be pregnant. She probably discusses it in episode 2, and she's probably pregnant for probably 5 or 6 episodes total. Maybe even longer, depending on what parts they focus on, but pretty good. And then, one of my favorite characters outside the mains, he's still a main character because of what he does, but is Henry Zaga, who plays Nick Andros. So Nick Andros is an interesting character for two big reasons. He was also played by Rob Lowe in the miniseries in 1994, but he's a 22-year-old deaf-mute drifter, originally from Nebraska. He's beaten and robbed in Shoyo, Arkansas, which is a fictional town. Because Stephen King likes to do these terrible things to people in fictional towns so people don't get all freaked out and not go to those towns, and it would be bad for those people. But later becomes friends with the town sheriff, picks up and starts doing sheriff duties later on at the, like in the small town, because the sheriff's dying, the sheriff's wife is dying first, and then he starts dying in the super flu. But basically, it's during the process of the super flu, that shit goes down. But he's an amazing character. So I mean, if they don't make him deaf and a mute in the show, it's going to be basically not doing character justice. But that's just me. But he is in a few things. He's newer acting as well. Started in 2015, so only been in acting for about 4 years or so. 5 years by the time this comes out. He's in the yet-to-be-released New Mutants movie. He plays Sunspot. Movie's probably going to be terrible, but we'll see what happens. He was in 13 Reasons Why, season 1. Is that right? Did I get that right? Season 1? Had to be, because they're in season 3 and it's 2019. So, yeah. He played Brad. If I remember correctly, which I probably don't, he's in Teen Wolf too. I forgot about that. An advertisement. Ooh, the fuck is that from? I don't know what show that from. Yeah, okay, I do remember him from 13 Reasons Why. But he's in that, and I think I remember him being really good in it. But anyhow, so he'll be playing Deaf Mute, which is going to be a fun role for anybody to play, but really good in there. The show is made, the new one is going to be directed, and it was created by, right? Yeah, Josh Boone. Josh Boone has done a lot of things. Unfortunately. His career is very short. He has written a few things. One, which I mentioned already, New Mutants, he wrote that. Well, he's doing The Talisman, too. Another Stephen King property. Dude, these people are snatching these up, man. And it's good to see that the continuing over with... it's not just a Stephen King one, but Peter Straub. If that's The Talisman I'm thinking of. I heard the screenplay for it. Yep, that's the one. Peter Straub and Stephen King. Which is the pseudo sequel or first movie, Talisman first and then The Black House? I think so. Anyhow, so he's doing that one. He directed Fault in Our Stars and something called Stuck in Love. Oh, he's directing New Mutants as well. Okay, interesting. He's producing almost everything he wrote and directed. But yeah, why are they showing a picture, an image of one of the other X-Men movies? He didn't have anything to do with those. Doesn't matter. So Josh Boone. So hopefully he does good. I can't speak to his work. I've never seen anything he's done. I've not seen Fault in Our Stars because I heard it's really sad. And I think... No, that's not the Nicholas Sparks one. Fuck that guy. It doesn't matter. Is that the one about cancer? The cancer kids? No. Is it? Fault in Our Stars. What's that one about? Anybody know what Fault in Our Stars is about? Yeah, it is cancer. Yeah, two teenage cancer patients. I fucking knew it. I saw the trailer and I was like, nah, fuck this movie. It's gonna make me cry. Oh, because of Ansel Elgort from Baby Driver. He's in that one. He's the male lead in that one. Opposite Shailene Woodley? Shailene Woodley? I don't know how to say that name. And it doesn't matter. Yeah, so Josh Boone did those stuff. It's pretty big for him. I mean, I think he's directing all of it. He created it. He's co-writing it with a bunch of people. I say co-writing. He's writing it with a bunch of people, including Stephen King. Owen King, Stephen's youngest son, is actually producing it. I think he wrote on some of it too. Oh, actually, it says episodes. He wrote on some of them. But Stephen King wrote 10, helped write 10 of the episodes, along with Josh Boone and Ben Cavill. I don't know who that actually is. Not Henry Cavill. Cavill. I've heard people say it both ways, but this is not that person. Ben is a different person. But yeah, it's going to be on ABC's streaming service, ABC All Access, or CBS All Access, not ABC. ABC was original. CBS All Access, which, depending on when the trailer comes out, what it looks like, most likely I'm going to somehow try to watch it, either by borrowing someone's subscription or, fuck it, signing up for my own, I guess. I really do want to watch the Star Trek shows that are on there. I heard they're really good. Plus, Picard's coming out, and that looks fucking amazing. Plus, Twilight Zone's on there. I'll check that out if I have the subscription. But yeah, that's it for... ooh, fuck, I went long. Oh, well. But that's it for The Stand for this week's episode. Stephen King's The Stand, if you weren't paying attention through this, or you just started listening at the last couple minutes. Anyhow, that's literally it for this week's episode. Next week, let me verify to make sure I'm not speaking out of turn yet again. Yes, next week will be probably a long episode as well, because it's It Chapter 1 and 2, which I will get to talk about. If you haven't heard my musings and talkings about on the main podcast with the other guys. I'll be going over it again in a little bit more detail and talking about the book and the movies as well as the TV miniseries. But yeah, that's it for this week's episode, everybody. This is The Awesome with Cody. As usual, I'm your host, Cody. And like I always say at the end of these, let's be awesome.